get your toddlers out of the room. If your toddlers are normally in the room, maybe rethink that decision anyway. Unless it's a conspiracy. We want to keep the toddlers thinking, you know? Right, Haley? Haley's giving me a look.
Yes, I am giving you a look.
Hi, this is Jasmine.
This is Haley.
And welcome back to Cults, Conspiracies,
and Other Creepies.
Yay, this is our 9th episode. Thank you for all of you who are listening. I've been checking like the different countries, and we've got like Sweden, we've got some New Zealanders, we've got like Australia. We got lots of places around the world, and that makes me really happy.
That makes me like 10 times happy because like, not only are we heard in the United States, but other countries are actually paying attention to us.
Yeah. And there's a lot of cities in the United States, too. Like, I thought it would just be like most of the viewers would be from, you know, our town that we live in.
Our hometown.
But really, it's a really small section. So people in our hometown, you need to get listening to us because a lot of other cities are beating you. Like, I saw New York City on there and I was like, yes, my homeland. Even though you're not my homeland, my future homeland. But yeah, shout out to all of our awesome listeners. We love all of you. And we're so excited that you're with us again. But so we want to let you guys know that this episode is going to be explicit. And it's marked explicit. And normally we're not explicit. Like we keep our content pretty clean, even though we talk about crimes and stuff. But this episode specifically, the cult I'm talking about is very, very graphic. So I want to warn you like ahead of time.
And also my topic too, there's some words I may or may not say that is very explicit itself too. So it just happened. We did not plan this episode to both be explicit topics, kind of.
Yeah, so this episode's just gonna be, it's gonna be a different ride. It's gonna be like 13 plus or 18 plus. I don't know what the age limit would be, but just be advised that there's content in
please
here.
Don't be shocked. Please do not message us and tell us, wow, where did that come from?
Yeah, like get your toddlers out of the room. If your toddlers are normally in the room, maybe rethink that decision anyway. Unless it's a conspiracy. We want to keep the toddlers thinking, you know? Right, Haley? Haley's giving me a look.
Yes, I am giving you a look. I feel like with us, our podcast is very more child safe than most podcasts I listen to.
Yeah, I agree, but still, I feel like the toddlers don't need to hear about Ted Bundy.
True.
Even though we haven't talked about Ted Bundy. We will, probably,
at some point. We will. I have that planned out.
We will. Speaking of Ted Bundy, I'm super excited for the new movie coming out.
Yes, I am too.
It's going to be great. But yes, on to, I'm going to jump into the topic right before I let you guys know that we will have a little break during the month of March. I'm going to be gone during spring break for a mission trip. So it's going to be a little crazy with editing and stuff. So St. Patrick's Day, we will not have an episode, but we will have one the week after. So only 2 episodes this month, but they're going to be good ones. So buckle up and get ready. It's going to be a wild ride. So I guess, should I hop into it, Haley?
Yes.
Okay, so today I'm talking about a cult that not many people know about. It is the Ant Hill Kids.
I'm the one that actually told her about it, so
yes, thank you, Haley, for literally, I read this when I was in class, or not in class, but about to go into class, and I was just so shook. Like, I was reading this, and I was just so disgusted and angry that I couldn't focus during class. So that's how bad this is. So I just want to like give a second warning. I will probably give tons of warnings in this. I'll be like, cover your ears, folks, if you don't want to hear about crazy stuff that could be out of the Saw movie, basically.
It is very necessary for us to do this, warning you guys, because it is very one of the most worst cults.
Yeah,
or even
I don't know why this one isn't more well known, because places like Jonestown and that, like, they're horrible, but this is like on a new level.
I think it's the most popular cults are known due to the fact of either Jonestown was very publicized right before hand because of,
and it was big, like, numbers wise too.
Yeah, and basically suicide too, with that whole suicide number, like, is very big.
I agree with that. But
and one more thing, I'm gonna say this. This is why people, true crime podcasts and everything like that, these are kind of why they're out there, because if we don't talk about them, then how can we tell the world, like, hey, these things are happening, bring awareness to them, that kind of thing.
And also, like, just having respect for, like, the victims of these cults, like, because it is, like, very manipulative. Like, it's easy to fall into the trap. So, yes, let's, without any further ado, let's get into it. So, Ant Hill Kids, the founder of Ant Hill Kids is Roche Thorolt. And I might have said that wrong, but I looked it up and I think that's right. So, he was born on May 16th, 1947 in Quebec. And he dropped out of school in seventh grade so he could study the Bible with vengeance in mind. If you're studying the Bible and you have vengeance in mind, first of all, I think something's wrong, because that's a little wild. But he was actually raised Catholic in his family. And later in life, like when he was in prison, I think he said that his family had been really abusive towards him. But there's actually no proof that this has happened. I mean, we don't want to discredit that. He could have been abused, but it's very unlikely. And some people think he just said this to get out of all of the bad stuff that he actually abused people. So he ditched his family's Catholic faith for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And before he joined the Seventh-day Church, he married Francine Grenet, and he had two sons before he founded this cult. His sons were Roche Jr. and Francois. So he had his two sons with his wife, and he had a ton of medical issues around this time. He had ulcers, he had multiple surgeries, he had chronic pain. And through all these things, he started developing a fascination for medicine, and he started researching, like, ways to cure himself, and he started thinking he was a doctor, basically. Like, he really wanted to be a doctor, but he knew nothing about medicine. So anyway, he was in the Seventh-day Church, and he ended up leaving the church because he thought the apocalypse was about to happen. And he convinced some of the Seventh-day Adventist Church members to follow him. He was a very, very charming person and very manipulative, so he was able to convince a decent amount of people to come with him. And he started a commune with these people, and his purpose for this commune was to purify themselves for the Armageddon, and this took place in Burnt River, Ontario. So let's talk about this apocalypse. The reason that he got all these people together is because he thought if they banded together and if they treated each other with quality and were full of community, that they would live in this commune free of sin, and that they would be, like, kind of just glanced over for the apocalypse. Like, for some reason, the apocalypse would happen everywhere else, but it wouldn't happen in this little commune because, no, they were free of sin. And so in the commune, he would not let his followers eat meat. He would not let them use tobacco or drink alcohol. And he wanted them to live a really healthy and holistic lifestyle to combat the battle of good and evil that was going to happen in the apocalypse. But he was actually an alcoholic. Like, he was drunk all the time. He was seen drunk probably more often than he was sober. So a little bit of a hypocrite. He actually went by the name Moshe, or Moses. So basically, he made his followers call him Moses. And sometimes he would wear this red velvet coat and a crown. So he would just walk around like that. He also had tons of control over his followers because he would not let them talk to their families. He also would not let them talk to each other. Like, he had to be in the room with them for them to talk. And whenever he wasn't in the room, he would spy on them. So he had this whole thing of spying. Like, he always wanted to know what they were saying about him. He had this just very manipulative, controlling mindset. He had these followers, and there was about 12 adults and 22 children. And this was at the time of the end of the cult, whenever it was actually abolished by the police. But he drank himself drunk most days, as I talked about before. And the way they made money is really funny, actually, because they just sold muffins and baked goods. Like, that's how they made all their money. I just, how is my question? How do they make money from that?
Sometimes you can't question something.
I'm questioning, though. It's like Girl Scout cookies. Like, they're getting all their money just from selling some food. Just like a little bake sale.
Well, I have said, money buys you food. Food buys you happiness. That's most people. Food equals happiness. So, like, if someone's selling food, like, no matter what, you usually take it. If it's not super sketchy.
I feel like this cult would have some sketchy food, though. I don't know. Maybe they had really good food.
Like, I'm thinking of, like Amish people. Like, if it's, like, homemade, like, everyone.
That's a good example right there.
Like, if they have, like, Amish people have the best homemade food. And, like, in a heartbeat, most people will just take it up without no questions. Like,
So, yeah, that's Anthill Kids. They were selling all their muffins. But it... Obviously, you can think it would be hard sometimes to make as much money as he wanted just from selling muffins. He would punish those members who came up short on their muffin money. So, yeah, and we'll get into the punishments pretty soon, and that's where it's going to get a little graphic. But to prepare for the end of the world, they ended up moving to a place called Eternal Mountain in St. George Gasp Peninsula, and I've been to Gasp, and it's a beautiful area. It's in eastern Canada, like way up there, like in this little peninsula, and you can look out and you see the Atlantic Ocean, and it's a pretty northern point in Quebec area, but it's beautiful up there. It's very isolated. There's not a lot of people, so they moved up there and they built a little tiny village, and this is where they got their name, the Anthill Kids, because he was sitting down and he was watching them build this village, and he thought they looked like ants. He thought they looked like ants, which I can just see him, like, just sitting there, like, not even working, just watching them work and just being like, wow, look at all my ants that I have here.
That's all cult leaders. That's
just, I hate this guy so much, Haley.
We haven't even touched on, like,
the bad stuff yet. Like, this is just the beginning, like, how it got started. And they all wore identical tunics, which kind of reminds me of, like, Heaven's Gate and how they were very identical. They had that kind of same thing going on here, too. So that's worth mentioning. But yeah, he said the end of the world would come February 1979, and this ended up passing, and the world didn't end, obviously, because it is 2019, and we are still alive, and there are still trees outside. But yeah, the day went and passed, and then his followers kind of started questioning things. They're like, hey, like, the world is going on still. I thought you said it would end. And I feel like this happens in a lot of cults, like Order of the Solar Temple, too.
Okay. I now want to do an episode of just explaining how cults work. Tactics they use within cults to keep the people there and just keep their mindset. Just, can we please do an episode on just cults?
I want to do that, like, just like explaining them, not even a specific cult,
but just
because they all have similarities. Like, you can just use all the similarities and you can form, like, a really good
outline. So many characteristics of a cult that, like, every cult touches on. Like, okay, you have this, okay, you're a cult then. Like, you're touching all the parts that make a cult up.
Exactly. But he covered for it well. He said, oh, sorry about that, guys. I was using God's time, and then I was trying to translate it into human time, which he kind of thought he was like God. Like, he called himself Moses, obviously. But yeah, that's how he covered for it. And so after this whole catastrophe, he was like, I need to take control. Like, people are falling away. So he starts marrying everyone, all the female members of the cult. He just married every single female member he could, which people think it was about 8 to 9. That's like a rough number. But some people say he might even have 26 children, because he wanted to have as many children as possible. And so this started actually boosting the cult member numbers, because now there was like about 40 members in the cult by the end of the 80s, or by mid 80s, because most of them were his children. Like, he just had a bunch of kids here and then a bunch of wives. That was basically most of the cult. There was a few men probably, but no one cared about them.
There's so many things in this cult
relate to other cults.
Not only relate, but touch so upon the, okay, checklist of cults. Like, okay, if you do this, check. They did this, check. They did this, check. Like, they are hitting every Q and T and dying I's on everything a cult does.
Exactly. And now is the time where I'm getting into, like, the really bad stuff.
Please tell us if you want to do a whole, episode on just cults. And
yeah,
how
like the characteristics and, like, just an outline, a basic outline for how to start a cult. Well, not how to start a cult, but, like, how to identify.
Yeah.
How to identify a cult. I like it.
So bad.
Yes. But, yeah, now is the viewer discretion advised part. So the abuse is like his punishments he would give to the members when they didn't sell enough muffins, like they didn't make enough money, or they did something bad. Maybe they were talking when he wasn't there. Just anything that was against his rules, because he had his very strict rules. Like, you couldn't have alcohol, couldn't have tobacco, couldn't have any of that, couldn't talk to each other, couldn't talk to outside people. Like, very, very strict. So just a few things he would do is he would beat those people with belts and hammers, and sometimes he would suspend people from the ceiling, and he would pluck out their body hairs one by one, or he would defecate on them. So basically straight up like torture stuff. He would make people break their own legs with sledgehammers. So it wasn't even him breaking their legs. He would hand like a hammer to you, and he'd be like, break your leg right now. So you just have to break your own leg, which is something like straight out of a Saw movie right there. Like, if there's any crime or like real life case that you could relate most to Saw, I feel like it would be this. Because like, there's some that have similarities, but like, just some of the things he did.
Yeah, so this cult kind of reminds me, okay, this level of like shock and like, oh my god, this is a Toy Box Killer. We will not be talking about that.
Yeah, that's probably the most like Saw, but this is like a good second place. Like,
yeah, by the way, we will not be ever talking about that topic, because it's too
way too graphic.
Even worse than like what we're talking about. If you want to go look it up, go look it up. I came upon it while listening to one or two podcasts they did. But yeah, no, this is way.
Yeah. Nope. But anyway, so that's like some of the lower key things he would do. And that's still pretty crazy, like being suspended from the ceiling and having your body hairs plucked out, or breaking your own legs. Those are pretty bad. But one specific woman, Gabrielle Lavalle, I think that's how I say her name. But Gabrielle is actually the one who ended up going to the police later on. So that's good to note. She was kind of the whistleblower on the whole cult, because really no one in Canada was paying attention to these people. They just thought they were weirdos.
No.
You know, they didn't think anything sketchy was going on, except now and then social workers would come to the cult, and they would like end up taking some children away because they realized there's something going on. So some children did get out like before the cult was shut down, but other than that, the government wasn't paying too much attention.
Yeah, really the only reason we probably would like have the knowledge of what we know now about this cult and everything is due to her.
Yeah, Gabriella basically told everything.
Yeah, without her, we probably would have never known this cult, and it could probably still be going on, or got 10 times worse before we ever would know.
Yeah, exactly. So this is just a few things that happened to only Gabriella. This is only Gabriella. This isn't even other people. The things before were things that would happen to, like, everyone. This is just Gabriella. Okay. So one of her fingers was snapped off with wire cutters. Her arm was sawed through with a hunting knife. One of her breasts was extracted. Her skull was fractured with the blunt end of an axe. He also yanked out 8 of her teeth with pliers. He broke off a needle in her back. And he also blowtorched her genitals. So yeah, that's just Gabby. And I can barely even just read this or look at it, but she is such a brave woman.
You know what actually happened? She actually went back. Okay, so they did all this. She went back.
To the cult?
Yeah, for a second. And that's when her, what was it?
The surgery?
The breast.
Oh, the breast extraction?
Yeah, that's when she kind of called it off. But she came back.
This is over, like, a period of time. Like, this wasn't all at once. Like, the finger snapping and the breast and, like, all of these things weren't all at once. Because she probably would have died if all of that happened at once. Because blood and...
Yeah. No, she wanted to go back. Because that's where, like, she only knew that, like, the cult.
Yeah, that's what you know.
Yeah, she wanted to go back. Like, she had needles. She got kind of healthy, but then she wanted to go back because she missed it. She didn't know what to do with her life.
Yeah, it really shows the manipulation, yeah. Like how you can fall into the trap so easily. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is, again, continuing on with the punishments and the abuse. This is children, so be warned. It's very graphic, very heartbreaking, but... These are his own children, by the way. Most of these are his own children that he is abusing because he would just marry all the women in the cult and have children with them. So most of these children he abused were his children. So he would nail disobedient children to a tree and he would let other kids pelt them with rocks. So kind of like almost if you've ever seen Handmaid's Tale or you hear about it, that's like where they bring out like a rapist or someone who has done something bad and they let all the handmaids just go at them and pelt them or they have different punishments for them. So this is kind of like that aspect, like a kid is being punished by his peers, which is just really disturbing that that even happened. And the fact that they were nailed to a tree. Also, his own baby, a little infant, died because he said the baby needed to be kept outside in the cold weather. And he said that this needed to happen because the infant was crying and being disobedient. But it's a baby. It's gonna cry until you put it outside. And then it ended up dying, which is just so sad. And this is his own child, too. So you just got to think about that. And he also killed another child in a surgery that was messed up. And he actually punished the man who originally injured the child by castrating him. So also some children were taken away by social workers, as I said before. But just everything that happened in this is just so heartbreaking. And I can't even wrap around my head around this. Like, sometimes I don't know if this is real just because it's so shocking. You know what I'm saying, Haley?
Yeah. Yeah. You're so in disbelief because you're like, how could people deal with that much and still, first of all, be alive?
Yeah. Because some of these things, like, that's a lot of blood that could come
blood,
out.
Your body shuts down in pain. And everything like that. So just everything in general, just like Wow. Yeah.
So now is like the worst part. And this is what ultimately led Gabrielle to kind of go to the police. Like, she stayed in the cult a few years after this surgery, or at least a little bit after this surgery. But then after like coming back a few times, you know, she was like in and out, in and out. Then she was like, okay, I need to do this. And she remembered this surgery. And this is like what really got him in trouble, because it's just messed up. So.
Ooh, deep breath. No, I heard this story. So yeah, you definitely need it.
Okay. Took my deep breath. So September 28th, 1988, Solange Boulard complained of a stomach ache. So just a regular old stomach ache. We've all had stomach aches before. So she says, hey, I have a stomach ache. And this guy, this absolute jerk, is like, okay, you need surgery. We're going to help you. We're going to heal your stomach ache. So he puts on his red velvet robe and his crown, and he tied her down naked to a makeshift surgery table. And he started punching her, just punching her multiple times in the stomach. And then he gave her a homemade enema made of molasses and olive oil. And he gave her no anesthesia whatsoever. And then he used a kitchen knife to slice open her abdomen. And he used his bare hands to tear out a part of her intestines. Then he ordered Gabrielle, who we've talked about before, to stitch her up with a needle and a thread. And he made another woman put a tube down her throat and start blowing into it. So he's basically playing doctor right here. But even just looking at this, I can tell these are not the things you want to do for a stomach ache.
No, this is not. What doctor would do all these things?
What doctor would do any of this? Like, even just a little bit of this? No.
That's why I'm like, how would... Like, I can get if, like... Because there's some people that want to be doctors and they know like certain stuff to do, but they don't do it correctly. But this isn't even like, what are you thinking?
Exactly. So then after she was like stitched up and this woman was blowing in a tube down her throat, she ended up dying the next day, which I'm surprised she didn't die that day. Cause like just slicing open her, like no anesthesia, and just like him not knowing what he's doing, like messing around in her insides, like that's, I'm just impressed she didn't die right there. But she did die the next day, sadly. And so Roche, he drilled a hole in her skull and he had sex with it, saying that this would resurrect her. And he also made all the other men in the cult do the same thing before they buried her. So, yeah, she was buried in a grave there at the commune. So, years later, 1989, Gabrielle alerted authorities. Good for her. Multiple adults were arrested in the cult, and all of the children became wards of the state. So, the children are still around today, but their names are probably changed, and you're not going to find them.
Yeah, wait, this case was in Canada, right?
Yes, Canada.
I think with Canada, if... Don't hate me if I'm wrong, but I think in Canada, I don't know if we do this in the United States, but I'm pretty sure in Canada, if you are, like, were in a crime or anything like that, under the age of 18, they will change your name. They will, like, do all this stuff to protect your identity. They won't even tell your name in the case, like, depending, even if you're the victim or the like murderer, they won't say your name due to like that kind of like, you're young, your life's still ahead of you, so you don't want this bad reputation, are you? Like,
yeah. And I think that's really great. So yeah, all the children became wards of the state, and Roche was sentenced to life in 1993. So you may think, oh, he's still around then. No, he kind of got what's coming to him. So he was serving out his prison sentence until February 11th, 2011. So just 8 years ago, actually. His cellmate, Matthew Gerald McDonald, actually jumped him with a homemade shiv and he put it into his neck. So Roche ended up bleeding to death. And after this, McDonald strolled up to the guards, like all the prison guards, and he was kind of cocky. And he handed them the homemade bloody weapon and he said, "That piece of bleep is down on the range. Here's the knife. I've sliced him up."
Did you mean shank? Like,
this said shiv. The website I found said shiv.
You said two words that, like, I don't pronounce that way. I don't know what other word it was, but it was something.
And you pronounced S-H-I-V, shiv.
Usually, like, it's like a, like, you, I get what you're saying, but usually they say, like, shank.
Yeah, it's shank. It was probably, it's like the same thing, I guess. But this website I found, it said shiv. So I was like, is that a different thing? Like, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
No, what is a shank and a shiv? Like,
I think, because if you got, depending on where you got all this information from, it could be from Canada.
Like, yeah, it could be, like, maybe in Canada they call it shiv. Canadian listeners, please tell us, shank or shiv?
You said what other word that sounded very Canadian? And, like, just the way you said it, I don't remember what word, but it bugged me. Sorry, I'm, like, changing topics. We needed this laugh during the end of this.
Yeah, but, yeah, he was killed by his cellmate. And I just think it's funny what his cellmate said, though. Like, saying, "Here's the knife, I've sliced him up." Like, wow. And I don't even really feel, like, that bad. Like, obviously, his cellmate, like, was a little violent, but this guy was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That is Ant Hill Kids. Thanks for sticking with us through that. Haley's going to go into a crime today. Dee Dee and Gypsy.
You don't know a lot about the... Wait, do you know a lot about the Dee Dee and
Gypsy? I've watched probably a few hours of stuff, so I think I know a decent amount.
Okay, because I was... Okay, so when I do a topic, I like to listen to other podcasters and kind of their view on everything, mm-hmm. or how they told the story. And I forgot, this is why we drank it. And if you don't know them, go listen to them, please. They're one of my favorites. They were the first podcast I have ever listened to, first of all. But yeah, no, they did this topic and it was very surprised. I wish I could get the same reaction out of you as I did with
Yeah, sadly I already know about it, so I'm not gonna be too shocked.
Dee and Gypsy, Blanchard, she let me just kind of give you a backstory on her life. She the star of Gypsy's, men of Dee Dee's life. So Dee Dee was 24 when she became pregnant with Gypsy. Rob Blanchard, he was very younger than her.
Oh, the father was younger?
Yes. Yeah. So they were only married for months.
So not a very good marriage.
Yeah, he was just very young, and the only reason he married her was because she was having a baby, and he was like, "I have to support her," but he was marrying her for the wrong reasons. Like, he could still support the child without them being married. By the way, Gypsy, keep this information in mind, Gypsy was born July 1991. Keep that in mind.
We got it in mind.
She was, like, more, okay? So, at the age of 3, Dee Dee was like, "Gypsy has sleep apnea. Like, she's not sleeping well. Like, this is what's wrong with her." And doctors were like, "She seems fine to me. We did all these tests." And Dee Dee was like, "No, you are wrong. I know my baby. I know there's something going on." So, that just kind of what happened was, this is the start. Dee Dee, now growing up, just keeps getting the worst luck at all these diseases and things. But everything she's getting, they can't really find why or how. she's getting all these things. But Gigi says it's a chromosome disorder. Mm-hmm. Gigi suffers from vision, hearing,
muscular dystrophy.
Yeah, muscular dystrophy, seizures, drooling issues.
So basically everything.
Leukemia. Yeah, so just basically almost anything. She was wheelchair bound. She, due to medications and stuff like that, her teeth were falling out. She had to shave her head. She had a feeding tube put inside of her. So all these charities and stuff kind of gave her, Dee Dee and Gypsy, the best life.
Didn't the Ronald McDonald House do something with them,
yes,
too?
Yeah, she would stay at their houses and everything like that. Just everything. Well, Hurricane Katrina happened and in 2005. So they were living in the area where New Orleans.
New Orleans.
That's why I thought.
Louisiana, yeah, like Louisiana. That part of,
yeah,
Louisiana.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have it in my notes, but I was like, that doesn't sound right. So they moved to Springfield, Missouri. They moved here. Supposedly, all of Gypsy's records, health med, like records of her medication, everything like that, like doctor's visits, birth certificates, everything supposedly got destroyed
in Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah. Yeah. So
floating in the ocean.
Yeah, so Dee Dee would take Gypsy to the doctors and they would do all these tests on her. No doctor could find anything wrong with Gypsy. Dee Dee was like, there is something wrong. You can't deny me. I know my child. So a lot. Just, by the way, Dee Dee was mentally in articles, they say mentally retarded instead of mentally retardation. There's actually a better term for it now.
Oh, like they've changed the term.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So because there's such a stigma. Yeah, I learned in psychology. I'm trying to find the right. But every article said mentally retarded. I'm trying not to use the word, but I have to because I can't think of the correct terminology for now. Just Dee and Gypsy were living this perfect life. They had this pink house. They got a jacuzzi. Just this awesome married, like, house and life so far. Okay. So Gypsy wants to find love. So she goes on this Christian mingle. She finds this guy. His name is Nicholas. And they were playing. Well, Gypsy's mom is so protective. And so Nicholas was like, oh, well, both of us kind of made this plan where Gypsy kind of told the plan of how, okay, so he was going to bump into her while her and Dee Dee were at the movies. And they were going to go see Cinderella and they were going to be in costume. And Gypsy paid for him to come down.
Oh, wow. How did Gypsy get money? Because she can't work, right? Because she's...
No, but they have money from Cherry and stuff like that.
Okay.
This part is unclear because I don't know if this actually happened or if they're just saying this. I got a little confused, but I saw in the article that she introduced him to her mother. As soon as they met in real life, this is what Nicholas said. Gypsy led him to the bathroom. They had intercourse. But she didn't find him what he looked like online and everything like that. But I'm thinking this is real life, but also at the same time, I was like, how is that possible? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because she's wheelchair bound and Dee Dee and just. It didn't make sense to me.
At the movie theater?
Yeah, at the movie theater.
And her mom, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. This is just a weird thing that I'm just confused. So, but it plays a part.
So, keep it in your mind.
So their relationship grows. They have a very interesting relationship online that a mentally 7-year-old should not have with a guy, if you catch my drift in that realm.
Yeah, because she's apparently mentally 7 years old.
Mentally 7 years old, okay.
With all her medical issues.
So yeah, it's a very PG-13-ish kind of thing. So one day in June 2015, there was a Facebook post, very graphic, basically saying, "I killed Dee Dee and I took Gypsy." Let me just put in the basic, cleanest terms.
Yeah, but with lots of language.
Very
angry.
Very angry and very bad language. That I don't even want to say. This is very... Look it up. It's still on Facebook.
Wait, is it still there?
Yeah, the post...
Facebook didn't even take it down?
No, you can't comment, but I think they didn't take it down due to evidence.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So, this post left very many people concerned and was like, what's going on? Did someone hack the Facebook account? Dee's Facebook account? Like, what's going on? So, they did a wellness check. And so, they go to her house. They find Dee Dee dead. Her throat's cut. Where's the Gypsy? You might ask, like, how would anyone be able to take her? The van that is used to take Gypsy everywhere is still parked in the house. So how did someone kidnap Gypsy? A couple of days later, a lot of people see Gypsy on the news walking.
Walking when she's supposed to be in a wheelchair.
So yeah, so that raises a lot more questions. Well, the mom is has this oh my gosh, Jasmine got me tongue tied now. Okay, let me just tell you how it's spelled so you guys will understand my troubles. Okay, it's MUNCHAUSEN. It's like Munchie Malproxen disorder. So basically that's when a mother or father or caregiver they start making up diseases and say, my child has this, my child has that, but the child actually doesn't have it. But the person who's taking care of them is like, I'm dedicated, this kid is sick. And it kind of also, you get attention from it, and you kind of are like...
Because she did. She got a lot of attention. She got a lot of money.
But they don't understand that they believe that their child is sick, no matter what test, no matter what. And that's the kind of thing that's going on.
So it's not like she really wanted to be manipulative. But it's like a disorder.
It's a disorder. She did not like say, okay, Gypsy. Because this is where things get iffy. Because Dee Dee is her family... are con artists. They're known to, like, some of Dee Dee's family was like, oh, Dee Dee's dead? Oh, she must be doing it to get money. Like, her family didn't believe she was dead because they're like, oh, she's just faking her death for money. So why is Dee Dee on the news walking?
Or you mean Gypsy.
Gypsy. Yeah, Dee Dee's dead. I got all confused trying to say the disorder Dee Dee had. So, Nicholas and Gypsy, they had talked about murdering Dee Dee. Gypsy was like, I can't get out. I'm never going to be happy. I'm never going to, like, leave this house, basically, unless she's dead. And it's kind of true because a doctor actually diagnosed Dee Dee with malpraxis disorder. But doctors, it's so unnoticed or so... not talked about because it's hard to diagnose. And if you're a doctor and you say, oh, your child has nothing wrong, then they're like, should I say it? And then if I was wrong, I would get very looked down upon.
Yeah.
So Nicholas killed. Why did you kind of talked him into it? Gypsy let him into the house. Gypsy went to the bathroom and hid why Nicholas killed Dee Dee. And so when they were leaving, making their way out and everything, to get rid of the weapon, they mailed it to Wisconsin where Nicholas lived.
What?
Yeah, they mailed the knife that they used, he used to kill her.
Yeah. The UPS worker's like, oh, we've got this strangely sharp object. Oh, looks like it's wet. Oh, there's something red in here. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's mail it.
Yeah. So, and then they took a bus to Wisconsin. But yeah, they mailed the... Yeah. So, the Facebook message was because Gypsy felt bad that DG, without someone telling him, hey, look, in the house, DG's dead. Gypsy was like, hey, I want my mom to be buried. I want someone to find my mother. So they did the Facebook post. The cops tracked the Facebook post down. That's why it's still up on Facebook. Probably is because they used the web address to find Nicholas, and Gypsy confided in one of her neighbors and said, hey, I have a secret boyfriend. Here's his name. Well, that name matched the address. And so, yeah, so they found him. And what was funny was they were like, Gypsy, do you know what happened to your mom? And she's like, no. And then the cops told Gypsy, and the Gypsy was crying, saying, oh, I don't know what happened. Well, Nicholas was like, yeah, I killed her. Here's how I did it. Here's what weapon. Here's everything.
So he just he's like, okay.
Yeah. It was just very interesting because he just kind of came out with it. And he said, one of my personalities love killing, so it wasn't that hard.
So he had some issues too.
Yes, he was on the autism scale and just all this stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, they were like, well, he has this, he might have that. So yeah. So she went to court. She didn't do a trial. She was like, they're like, hey, we'll give you 10 years. And she's like, I'll take it as long as I don't have to go through trial.
So she's only getting 10 years.
Yes.
Because she didn't actually murder, but she conspired.
And she has second degree murder or something where it's conspired to. And she got the less terms ever. But Nicholas, he got life in jail. But yeah, I think it's because there's so many interviews with gypsies that says she's way happier in jail than rather be with her mother.
Because she was being forced to take all these medications that she didn't need, and it was messing up her body. Yeah. It was stunting her growth.
Yeah, she was 5 feet tall. The feeding tube was unnecessary, and you have to change it out every 6 months. They do not put you down. They do not give you any numbing medicine. They just take it out of you, put a new one in.
Yeah, the things she had to go through were
because they put Botox in her lands for drooling. Her mom was complaining she was drooling even more, so then they took out her glands to drool. I forgot, it's saliva glands.
Oh, the ones right by your cheeks, and those are really needed. You need those to be able to process food.
Yeah. So but yeah, no, supposedly right out when she got into prison, you know how most people lose 10, 15 pounds because jail's stressful and also the food's horrible?
Yeah.
She gained 15 pounds.
Yeah, because she was super skinny.
Yeah, and she hasn't eaten. She could walk, she could do all this stuff, and she goes, she feels kind of bad for killing her mom, but she goes, I felt like a jail, it was horrible, but she goes, if DT actually had a daughter who was in need, she would be the best mother, but for me, I was normal, and it wasn't the best fix.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Wow. So that's it.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a movie coming out, too.
Yes, it's on Lifetime.
Joey King's going to be in it, girl from that Kissing Booth movie.
Yeah, they changed the names, I think, of Dee Dee and Gypsy, though.
Yeah, like...
I'm going to say the movie's loosely based on the this case, I'm going to say that because they even changed the names. I watched, I think, 2 previews of it, and I think they changed the names.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I could see them changing the names because it is kind of recent. It's fairly recent.
But yeah.
But yeah, this has been a long episode, guys. So thanks for sticking with us if you did. And look out in 2 weeks for our 10th episode.
Yes.
I can't believe we'll have made it 10 episodes, but we love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.